जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद So we have been discussing the glories of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is considered by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to be perhaps the most intimate associate of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. In the course of discussions on his pastimes, we mentioned how Bhagavan Acharya, who was also an eternal associate of the Lord, he had brought his brother Gopal, who was a Mayavadi, and he wanted the devotees to hear Shankaracharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is called Sharirakha Bhashya, from him. Swarup Damodar Goswami suitably admonished him and made him understand how, even if one is a very advanced devotee, one should not hear Mayavad philosophy. Sometime later, that same Bhagavan Acharya introduced to the devotees a poet, a Brahmana poet who had come from Bengal. And this poet had composed a drama and some verses. And he wanted Mahaprabhu and also the devotees to hear this. Of course, Swarup Damodar Goswami was reluctant because he didn't know the background of this poet, and he understood very well that unless one is properly trained in devotional conclusions, one's compositions like poetry and drama and so on are bound to be full of some kind of wrong principles, wrong conclusions, inconsistencies, or overlapping mellows, rasabhas, and so on. So he was reluctant to hear. Nonetheless, because Bhagavan Acharya was persuading him, so he agreed. And at that assembly, this poet began to recite a particular verse. And everybody appreciated that verse, but Swarup Damodar Goswami did not. And he asked this poet to explain it. Upon hearing the explanation, Swarup Damodar Goswami immediately pointed out the faults in this particular verse. So let us chant this verse and then we will see how Swarup Damodar Goswami comments so expertly on this verse. He first establishes that it is incorrect, the conclusions are wrong, there are some offensive statements in this verse, and subsequently by giving some examples of Jarasandha, Shishupal and Indra, who at some point in time spoke badly about Krishna, but Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, took their words and with some change in the meanings, she offered it to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, because with this changed meaning, that particular verse or statement had become now a verse of glorification of Krishna rather than one of condemnation. So here is the verse.
Vikacha kamala netre Shri Jagannatha samye Kanakaruchiri Atmanyatmatam yah prapannah. Prakriti jadamashesham chetayan avirasit. Sadishatu tavabhavyam Krishna Chaitanya Devaha.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath, whose blooming lotus eyes are widely expanded. Thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. May that Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev, bestow all good fortune upon you. So let us study this verse. Let's start with the last line where this poet is saying, Saha Dishato, may this person bestow Tava Bhavyam, all good fortune upon you. So who is that person he's talking about? Krishna Chaitanya Devaha, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. May he bestow all good fortune upon you. So far, so good. No problem with this. Very nice. And what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu look like? Second line. Kanaka ruchihi. So his color is golden. So he has come in a golden complexion form. And iha avirasit. Avirasit is in the third line. So with that golden complexion, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has descended with a golden complexion here in Jagannath Puri. Also no problem. So far, so good. Then he says, there is another Lord, Vikacha Kamala Netre, who has lotus eyes which are blooming and which are widely expanded. Vikacha means expanded. Kamala Netre means lotus eyes which are blooming. And what is this Lord called? Jagannath. Jagannath Samye. Samye means is known as. So the Lord is Jagannath here, who has widely expanded blooming eyes, and he has a body, and in that body, this Krishna Chaitanya Devaha has entered Atmatam Yaha Prapannaha. So he has entered as a soul, as the very self of that body which is called Jagannath. And what is Jagannath's body like? Third line. Prakriti Jadam. It is inert matter, just like our bodies. So his body is also made of inert matter. Ashesham Chetayan. But now with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu having entered this dull body of inert matter, he has made it, enlivened it with consciousness and come alive. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped him and pointed out that there were basically three defects or three offenses that this poet had committed in this verse. Number one, he stated that Lord Jagannath's body was Prakriti Jadam. See the third line. That Lord Jagannath's body was actually made of dull, inert matter. Whereas the fact of the body, fact of the matter is that the Lord is not something material. The Lord is completely spiritual. And the Lord's body is Purna Ananda and Chit Swarupa. His spiritual identity is completely spiritual. There is no mixing of anything material and he is purely, completely blissful, Purnananda. And there is no question of any matter being associated with him. But this poet, what did he do? Jada Nashvara Prakrita Kaya. He had made Jagannath's body as something that was dead, destructible, which is an offense. So the Lord's body is always spiritual from inside and outside. There is no question ever of the Lord's pure transcendental form being contaminated by anything material. The second offense which was made in this verse was that this poet said that Sri Chaitanya Dev had entered into the body of Jagannath and made it come alive, implying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Jivatma who, like other Jivatmas, actually enliven any other dull material body. So we are spirit soul and we are residing within our particular respective material bodies. So this poet was comparing Jagannath's body to something like our body and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be like ourselves, our soul. So he said that the second offense you have made is you have compared the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Shad Aishwarya Purna, who is full of six opulences, to be like a spirit soul who goes and makes conscious a particular dead body. And the third offense, Swarup Damodar Goswami mentioned in this verse, was that he made a distinction between the body and the soul of the Lord. And this fault is called Deha Dehi Bheda. Deha means body, and Dehi means he who resides within the body. So for us who are here in this material world, there is a difference between Deha and Dehi. The Deha is material and Dehi is spiritual. So there is a fundamental difference. But for the Lord, there is no such difference. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, suitably admonished him. And he told him, Ishwarire nahi kabhu deha dehi bhed. For the Lord, there is never a question of there being a distinction between the body and soul of the Lord, because Swarupa deha chidananda nahi kavibhed. Because his identity, Swarup, and his deha are one, and they are both Chidananda. They are blissful and spiritual in identity, one in identity, and there is no question of any distinction, nahika vibheda. And then he quoted a verse from the Kurma Puran, deha dehi vibhagoyam neshvare vidyate kvachit, that never at any time is there any difference between the soul and the body of the Lord, because the Lord is completely spiritual at all times. So in this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami mercifully pointed out the faults in this composition, and giving further evidence from the Shastras to prove his statements, he further went on to say that doesn't matter, now you have made a mistake out of ignorance, but if you want to understand anything about the Lord, and if you want to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you have to go to the person Bhagavatam and you have to take shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and associate with his devotees. Then you will understand the waves of devotional service. Without doing this, if you try to compose verses and songs and dramas about the Lord, you will surely be mistaken and pen many, many erroneous or faulty compositions. And then he said, but then it doesn't matter, because there are many times when demons or even demigods, they say things which are not proper. But Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, takes their particular statements, changes the meaning to make it more appropriate for glorifying the Lord, and then presents it at the lotus feet of the Lord as a statement or a verse of wonderful glorification for Krishna. So Swarup Damodar Goswami gives three examples. one of Indra, the second of Jarasandha, and the third of Shishupal. And then he comes down to this poet and says, well, your verse is also like that. So, what was it about Indra's words that Swarup Damodar Goswami pointed out? So let us see. Can we please distribute these sheets of paper? Can do half and half so that it can be distributed quickly. I can have one sheet, please. About to be worshipped by the Brajabasis with a yajna. And then Krishna came along and dissuaded Nanda Maharaj from doing so. And he told the Brajabasis to worship Govardhan instead. Nanda Maharaj and the Brajabasis agreed. And they happily worshipped Govardhan. Everyone seemed to be happy except, of course, Indra. Indra became so upset that he started speaking harshly about Krishna. And this one verse over here actually is Indra's statement criticizing or blaspheming Krishna. So what we will do is we will read this verse first with the meanings as intended by Krishna, and secondly we will hear how Swarup Damodar Goswami interpreted these words in a different way so as to convert this verse into a verse of glorification of Krishna rather than one of blasphemy.
Vachalam balisham stabdham agyam panditamaninam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Gopame Chakrura Priyam Vachalam Balisham Stabdham Agyam Panditamaninam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Gopame Chakrura Priyam.
Please chant.
Vachalam Balisham Stabdham Agyam Panditamaninam Shamartyam Upashritya Me Chakrura Priyam Vachalam Balisham Stabdham Agyam Panditamaninam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Gopa Me Chakrura Priyam. Vachalam Balisham Stabdham Agnyam Panditamaninam Krishnam Martyam Upashritya Gopame Chakrura Priyam.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Indra said, this Krishna, who is an ordinary human being, is talkative, childish, impudent, and ignorant, although he thinks himself very learned. The cowherd men in Vrindavan have offended me by accepting him. This has not been greatly appreciated by me. So let's see the different words. There are about six different words that Indra has used here. So in this verse, in the sheets in front of you, we have added the word for word meaning so that you can use it as a reference. The first word Indra uses to criticize Krishna is, he says he is Vachalam. Vachalam, Indra intended it to mean who is very talkative. Sometimes some children, they have the habit of talking too much, they prattle. Children usually talk too much, isn't it? So he's saying he's too talkative, over talkative. So what was the explanation of Mother Saraswati according to Swarup Damodar Goswami? He says actually the word Vachala also means Veda Pravartaka, one who speaks very nicely on the Vedas. So Krishna is one who is speaking very beautifully about the Vedas. Second, what is the meaning of the word Balisham as intended by Indra? Childish. But Mother Saraswati says Shishupraya Garva Shunya. This is actually what Krishna is. So the word Balisham means he is Shishupraya, which means not that he is childish, but he is childlike, in the sense that he is innocent, and he is Garva Shunya. That means he is prideless, he doesn't have any false ego. So actually this is a word of praise for Krishna. The third word used by Indra is stabdham. So you look at the meaning. What is the meaning of stabdham? Impudent. That means very arrogant. But what does Mother Saraswati say? What is the meaning of stabdham? Vandhya abhave anamra. Abhav means when there is a shortage or a lack of something. Vandhya means one who is worshipable. So when one has no one to worship or offer obeisances to, because one is so great that nobody is worthy of offering obeisances to compared to oneself, then one is anamra. That is the meaning of stabdham. Stabdham means that there is nobody who is worthy of being offered obeisances to by Krishna. So he's so great. Anamran. It may mean not humble, but actually the fact is that there is no need for him to offer obeisances to anyone, because obeisances are offered to those who are actually greater than ourselves. Then the fourth word that Indra used here is agyam. What's the meaning of agyam as intended by Krishna? Foolish. So what is the word, the meaning intended by Mother Saraswati? Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Jaha hoite anya vignya nahi. That apart from him, there is nobody who is more intelligent. So there is nobody more intelligent than him. That is, he actually, no one is to be found who is more knowledgeable than Krishna. In other words, there is nothing that is unknown to Krishna. Agya. Gya means to know. Agya means either you can mean it as he doesn't know anything or foolish, or you can say that there is nothing left to be known for him because he knows everything. So the word agya as intended by Mother Saraswati was that Krishna is all-knowing. The next word was Pandita Maninam. What does it mean according to Indra? He thinks himself to be a very learned scholar, Pandita Maninam. And how is Mother Saraswati explaining this according to Swarup Damodar? Panditera Manipatra Hoya Pandita. Pandita Mani. Mother Saraswati is explaining that Panditera Manya Patra Hoy Panditamani. That someone who is worthy patra of man or respect by pandits is called Panditamani. So the word Panditamani can mean either one who thinks himself to be a great pandit, or it could mean that one who is honored by all other pandits. That means all others respect him as a great pandit. as the greatest scholar. So in other words, Mother Saraswati is saying, Pandita Manina means he whom all others respect as the greatest scholar. Whereas Indra intended that to mean that Krishna thinks himself to be a good, great scholar, implying thereby that Krishna is actually not so. And then lastly he says, Martyam. What does Indra mean by this word, Martyam? Ordinary mortal human being, one who is destined for death, Martya. For one who is destined for Mrityu or death is Martya. So, Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Bhakta Vatsalye Manushya Abhimani, that because he is very affectionate to his devotees, he is Bhakta Vatsal. Therefore, he descends amongst human society and acts as if he is an ordinary human being. Not that he is actually an ordinary human being, but out of love for his devotees, he mingles amongst them as if he were just one of them. The word Jananivas is also significant here in this connection. Jananivas means he who lives amongst the ordinary people. Nivas means to reside. Jana means person or people. So he who resides amongst people as if he were also one amongst them. So that's Jananivas. But Jananivas has also another meaning. That is, he who is the Nivas or the shelter of all Jana, of all people, of all living entities. So although Krishna is a shelter of all living entities, still out of his causeless mercy and his affection for his devotees, he descends into the human society and lives as if he were an ordinary human being, which he is of course not. And then he says his name is Krishnam. And all these Brajabasis, the Gopas and Gopis, they have taken shelter, Upashritya, of this Krishna who is just a talkative boy, who is foolish, who is impudent and so on. And thus, Chakrur Apriyam, therefore they have displeased me. And we all know what Indra did when he was displeased. He unleashed so much rain on Brajabhumi. That kind of rain that was to be seen only at the time of universal destruction. But nevertheless, Krishna effortlessly lifted the Govardhan hill and saved all the Brajabasis. And he cut down the pride of Indra. And Indra learned a very good lesson after that. So in this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami has paraphrased Mother Saraswati's glorification of Krishna by the way that she actually differently presented the meanings of Indra's words of condemnation. The second example that Swarup Damodar Goswami gives is that of Jarasandha. Jarasandha was approached by Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima at a time when many of the asuras had already been killed, but there were still many asuras remaining to be killed, and the most prominent amongst them was Jarasandha. He was the king of Magadha and he was very, very powerful. And after much deliberation and advice from counselors like Uddhav and Narad and so on, Krishna decided to go to Magadha along with Arjun and Bhima. And they went in the dress of brahmanas. They went and asked for charity. But by their chivalrous activities, even before they entered the palace, it was clearly understood that they were not brahmanas, although they were looking like brahmanas. They had dressed themselves like brahmanas. But actually, by the way they looked, by the way they walked and spoke, by the marks of the quivers, the bow and arrow on their shoulders, one could understand that they were kshatriyas. So Jarasandha was not fooled completely. He understood that these were not brahmanas, but nevertheless, because they had come as brahmanas and they were asking for charity to him in his courtroom, so Jarasandha being some kind of follower of Vedic culture, he said, yes, when a Brahmana comes to my doorstep asking for charity, it is my duty to give. So please ask anything and I will give it. And then they asked for a duel, a battle. And at that time, he said, which one of you shall I fight? I accept your asking for charity. You want to fight with me, but which one? As far as Arjuna is concerned, he is younger than me. I won't fight. As far as Krishna is concerned, well, he is a killer of his own relatives and he is the lowest among all human beings. So I will not fight with him. And yes, Bhima is worthy of combat with me, so I will fight with Bhima. So then, of course, he didn't know at that time, that later he came to know when they introduced themselves. And then he said, yes, I will fight with Bhima because he is strong enough to match me. And they went outside the city and had a fierce combat, and eventually, with help from Krishna, Bhima killed Jarasandha. So at that time, when criticizing Krishna, he had called him the lowest among human beings and the killer of his own relatives. Because Kamsa, do you know the relationship between Kamsa and Jarasandha? Jarasandha's daughter was married to Kamsa. So Jarasandha was Kamsa's father-in-law. So, and Kamsa was Krishna's uncle. And Krishna had killed his own uncle. So Jarasandha was very aggrieved that his daughter had become a widow because of Krishna. So he condemned Krishna as being Bandhuhan, a killer of his relatives. And because of that, he says, you are Purusha Adhama, which means you are the lowest amongst mankind. So how did Swarup Damodar Goswami understand Mother Saraswati's explanations of these words? Mother Saraswati says, actually the word Adham means lower. So when the word Purusha Adhama is used for Krishna, what it really means is that he is the person under whom all other persons remain. Adham means below, that means all others are below him. Purusha Adham. He is that Purusha under whom all others remain. So actually, according to this meaning, the word Purusha Adham really means Purushottam, or the best among all people. So actually, Mother Saraswati is saying that Purusha Adham, what Jarasandha is saying, is Krishna is the supreme. He is the topmost person, but Jarasandha doesn't understand it. He means differently. And as far as Bandhuhan, Swarup Damodar Goswami gives a nice explanation. Bandhe shabar tate avidya bandhuhai, avidya nashaka bandhuhona shabde koi. Bandhe shabare tate avidya bandhuhai. Bandha means to tie. So avidya or ignorance has tied up everybody in this world. And therefore, avidya or maya is also called bandhu. Bandhu because she ties up, bandha, bandhe, she ties up everybody. Generally, the word bandhu means friend. But here, bandhu means the opposite, something like the opposite, that it is maya who is tying up the conditioned souls. And Krishna is a destroyer of maya, right? Krishna hai Surya Sama, then what is Maya? Maya hai Andhakar. Jahan Krishna nahi, tahan nahi, Mayar Adhikar. Elsewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami has said like this, that Krishna is like the sun, Surya Sama, and Maya is like darkness, Andhakar. Maya hai Andhakar. Jahan Krishna tahan nahi, Mayar Adhikar. So where there is Krishna, there is no place for Maya. So therefore, Krishna is also he who destroys maya in the lives of the living entities. So then, Swarup Damodar says, avidya nashaka bandhu hon shabde koi. So the word bandhu hon, or the destroyer of his friends means Krishna, who is the destroyer of Maya. By becoming Krishna conscious, one comes out of the clutches of Maya. So this is the explanation of Mother Saraswati which she offers to Krishna's lotus feet. And then again, the third example that was given by Swarup Damodar Goswami was about Shishupal. He says that Shishupal also blasphemed Krishna in this way, but the goddess of learning, Saraswati, offered her prayers to Krishna even by his words. Now, Shishupal was a professional blasphemer, chronic blasphemer. He could not do without blasphemy. From his very childhood, from even the time he learned to speak, generally when children learn to speak, they speak some, you know, something very, that's something that doesn't make sense. But of course, everybody loves to hear it because it sounds so nice, so everybody hears it. But generally they speak very harmless and innocent words. But when Shishupal learned to speak, the very first things he started speaking was blasphemy of Krishna. So he hated Krishna right from his very childhood. And the hatred continued throughout till the end of his life. So at every possible opportunity, Shishupal would criticize Krishna. So even so, Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying, Mother Saraswati would take his words of criticism and just transform the meaning a little bit here and there and convert that criticism into glorification. So then Swarup Damodar continues that in that way, although your verse is blasphemous according to your meaning, Mother Saraswati has taken advantage of it to offer prayers to the Lord. In other words, Mother Saraswati has changed the meanings. By the meanings that you intended, you have blasphemed the Lord. But Mother Saraswati has suitably changed the meaning in such a way that now your verse becomes a verse of glorification for Krishna. So now you look at this verse and you will see the word here is jada and prakrita. Prakriti jadam. He is saying the Jagannath's body is prakriti jadam, and this Brahmana poet intended it to mean that it was made of ordinary, dull, inert matter. And Swarup Damodar Goswami says that actually there is no difference between Lord Jagannath and Krishna. But here, Lord Jagannath is fixed as the absolute person appearing in wood. Therefore, he is Daru Brahma. Daru Brahma means Brahma, or the Supreme Absolute Truth, who has come in the form of wood. So he's sthavara, he's stationary, he doesn't move. So he's also called sthavara Brahma. On the other hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also directly Krishna. And he has come here and he's moving everywhere. So he's jangama Brahma. Jangama means moving, one who's all mobile. So Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are one and the same. But one is stationary and one is moving. One is stationary because he's fixed in the form of wood. And the other one has come with a golden complexion and he's moving everywhere. And the two of them are one in two respects. The first is that both of them are directly Krishna. Jagannath is Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Therefore, Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu both are one. The second reason is that in both there is a very strong desire to deliver the whole world. Whereas Jagannath delivers the world when people from different countries come to take his darshan in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that same Jagannath who actually travels to different countries and delivers everybody there. Of course, now by Srila Prabhupada's mercy in recent times, even Jagannath has started traveling. He is also everywhere. So he has also become Jangam Brahma. He is no longer just Thavara Brahma. Normally, Jagannath in Puri becomes Jangam Brahma only once a year when he goes out for the Rath Yatra. from Jagannath Puri, from the main Jagannath temple, he goes to Gundicha. He remains there for a few days and comes back for what is known as the Ulta Rath, the reverse Rath Yatra. So that's the only time Jagannath really moves out. Otherwise, he's stationary in one place. He's Sthavara Brahma. But now, by Prabhupada's mercy, Jagannath is traveling in the streets of the world, in all the major cities of all the different continents. So both of them, Jagannath as well as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, share this quality of wanting to deliver others. So therefore, when it is said that there is Atmata, the quality of being the Self, which you see here in the second line, Kanaka Ruchir Iha Atmani Atmatam. Atmani means in the body. So that body of Lord Jagannath is a transcendental body. And Atmatam, to say that Mahaprabhu is that body or has entered that body, one means to say that that oneness is in these two respects. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Jivatma has entered the dull and inert body that is known as Jagannath. In this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami explained the meaning intended by Mother Saraswati, and he said to this poet, "It is your great fortune that you have described Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way. Sometimes it so happens that one who wants to chastise Krishna utters the holy name, and thus the holy name becomes the cause of his liberation. Many times it happens like this. People chant the name of the Lord in a spirit of, let us say, irritation or anger or disgust or hatred or impatience, but still that holy name is the cause of deliverance. There is a story I've heard many times, although I don't know the exact shastric reference. That is about Prahlad Maharaj's mother, who was known as Kayadhu. When Hiranyakashipu went for penance and time came for them to conceive, at that time Kayadhu happened to mention the name of Narayan. "So what did you say?" He said, "Narayan." "What?" He said, "Narayan. Say it again, say it again." So she made him repeat Narayan many times. And therefore, the child who was conceived was glorious like Prahlad. Because even without intending to, Hiranyakashipu had chanted the name of Narayan. And maybe he had chanted in a slightly irritated way, but he chanted. So this is some story that is popularly heard amongst devotees in different places. So in any case, Swarup Damodar says that the holy name is very, very powerful. And even if one intends to speak with ill feeling about Krishna and chants the holy name in that way, there is still benefit. Although, of course, as devotees, we don't chant in that way. But nevertheless, even for those who are ignorant, the holy name is always a cause or source of deliverance. So upon hearing this explanation from Swarup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees there were extremely happy. And to the credit of this poet from Bengal, he fell down like a stick, danda vat. Vat means like, and danda means stick. That's the meaning of the word, danda vat. So he fell down like a stick to offer obeisances to Mahaprabhu and begged forgiveness. And he put a straw in his mouth when offering obeisances. So that is an indication of humility. So when one is very repentant, or if one is in a very humble mood and one is offering respects to somebody, then in that mood he may put a piece of straw in his mouth. Sanatan Goswami, when he saw Mahaprabhu at Varanasi, he also offered respects in that way by putting a straw between his mouth, in his mouth. So the Brahmana poet, because he was humble and willing to hear, and because he was faithful, So the devotees accepted him in their midst, and he became a part of that association. And explaining his humble behavior, they introduced him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very impressed, not by mundane scholarship, but he was impressed by devotional qualities like humility. So seeing this Brahmana poet's humility, although he was ignorant and he had composed verses unknowingly which were blasphemous, nevertheless the devotees accepted him. Swarup Damodar also. And by the mercy of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that poet from Bengal gave up all other activities and stayed with them at Jagannath Puri. So Kaviraj Goswami says, who can explain the mercy of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And then he says that although this poet was ignorant, because of his faith and humility, he nevertheless obtained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very instructive pastime. It indicates to us what kind of qualities are necessary for us to cultivate in our hearts to be able to receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is never impressed by anything material. He is not impressed by any display or exhibition of material qualities like intelligence or musical talent or beauty or strength or organizing ability or charisma or speaking ability and so on. He is impressed only by genuine devotional qualities. So by hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can learn so many practical lessons which we can implement in our day-to-day life. That is the beauty of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It makes Srimad Bhagavatam come alive. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about things that happened 5,000 years ago and also many, many pastimes that happened hundreds and thousands of years ago. And sometimes devotees may feel it is so remote in time that can we really do these things that are mentioned here in the Srimad Bhagavatam? It looks so beyond our reach. But when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get hope. Here are practical people like ourselves who are living day-to-day life. Most of these devotees were very simple devotees. Most of them were not so-called learned, but they had some very great qualifications because of which they could get entrance into Mahaprabhu's association. They were humble. They were faithful. They accepted faithfully whatever the devotees told them. They were tolerant. They loved to chant the holy name of the Lord. They loved to hear about Krishna. So all these wonderful qualities endeared them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he bestowed his mercy upon them. We also hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of how the devotees actually interacted with each other. And that is very important, because in our practical day-to-day life, we are also interacting with devotees all the time. And we can learn from the Chaitanya Charitamrita how to keep our Vaishnava relationships based completely upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So therefore, these pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita are indeed very, very instructive for all of us. So one time, when Mahaprabhu was preparing for the Lord to come from Jagannath temple to Gundicha, just some time before the Rath Yatra actually began, as was customary, he went along with the other devotees to clean the Gundicha temple. That's called the Gundicha Marjana festival. Every year Mahaprabhu used to go there with his devotees and have a huge cleaning operation, maha cleaning. They were cleaned with brooms and cloth, and after they had cleaned like that, dry cleaning first, then they would clean with water. And they would bring water from the nearby kund, and then they would washed with buckets of water. And this was an activity in which Mahaprabhu led the way by his personal example. He would collect more dirt than all the others put together. And he was the most active amongst all those who were cleaning Gundicha temple. One time, when the cleaning was done with water, there was one very simple Bengali devotee who had come from Bengal. He was very faithful. He was quite learned. At the same time, he was very simple. So, being very intelligent doesn't necessarily mean that from a mundane point of view he was intelligent, but spiritually he was very intelligent. Therefore, he knew what the right thing to do was. He came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and without any warning, without any notice, he suddenly poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord was caught unawares, and he took this water and drank it himself. So he took the water, the Charanamrit, from Mahaprabhu's feet and drank it. So Mahaprabhu felt a little externally unhappy. Internally there was some satisfaction, because he saw that this devotee's faith was so strong that he was happy, but externally he acted as if he was angry. So how does Kaviraj Goswami explain this?
Yadyapi gosaitare honachi santosh dharma sansthapanalagi bahire maharosh.
Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles.
Shiksha lagi swarupe daki kohilo tahare ei dekho tomar gaudiya ravyavahare.
The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar Goswami and told him, "Ei dekho, just see, tomar gaudiyar vyavahare. Vyavahar means behavior. Just see the behavior of your gaudiya, of your gaudiya Vaishnava, of your devotee." So Mahaprabhu gave Swarup Damodar a very important position now. He said that all these devotees who come from Bengal, they are your devotees. That means you are supposed to be responsible for them. Whenever any devotee would misbehave or make some little mistake, then Swarup Damodar Goswami would be called by the Lord, and Mahaprabhu would tell him, "Just see what your Gaudiya has done," as if they were not Mahaprabhu's Gaudiyas, as if they were Swarup Damodar's Gaudiyas. But Mahaprabhu in this loving way wanted to glorify Swarup Damodar by saying that actually Swarup Damodar had the responsibility of overseeing and monitoring these devotees to see that they didn't do anything improper. And if anybody did anything improper, then Mahaprabhu wanted Swarup Damodar to be the one to correct them. We've already seen examples of how he corrected Bhagavan Acharya and he corrected the Brahmana poet from Bengal. So now when Mahaprabhu saw this, internally he was happy because of the Brahmana, that devotee's faith, but externally, in order to establish religious principles, he became angry. So he called Swarup Damodar and said, "Just see what your Gaudiya has done." And then what was Mahaprabhu's objection?
Ishwara mandire mora pada dhoilo shehi jala apanilo na panakailo.
This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. Generally, in a temple, one is not even supposed to offer obeisances to anybody else apart from the Lord. So what to speak of actually washing somebody's feet and then drinking that water? Of course, since Mahaprabhu is directly the Supreme Lord, so therefore this devotee from Bengal was not at fault. But since Mahaprabhu was playing the role of a human being, for the sake of establishing religious principles that a human being, an ordinary person, should not accept such worship or should not be offered such kind of worship within the temple, especially things like drinking water from the feet and so on, he became externally angry. So then Mahaprabhu said,
Ei aporadhe mora kaha hobe gati tomara gaudiya kore eteke phoy jiti.
I do not know what my destination is because of this offense.
Ei aparadhe mora kaha hobe gati.
What will be my gati, my destination because of this aparad? I don't know.
Tomara gaudiya.
Your gaudiya has done, has put me in a great fix. He has implicated me in this offense. So Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport the significance of Tomar Gaudiya. Prabhupada says, it is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar Goswami that the Bengali Vaishnava was your Gaudiya Vaishnava. This means that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas who are followers of the Chaitanya cult are subordinate to Swarup Damodar Goswami. The parampara system is very strictly observed by Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Swarup Damodar Goswami. The next group of devotees was the six Goswamis, then Kaviraj Goswami. It is necessary to observe the parampara system of the Chaitanya cult. In this way, Mahaprabhu has actually glorified Swarup Damodar Goswami. So at this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught that Bengali Vaishnava by the neck and he took him out very quickly and took him outside the temple and said, you stay out. He gave him a little push, Kaviraj Goswami says, and pushed him outside the Gundicha temple and made him stay outside. But although Swarup Damodar was externally very hard, it seemed he was hard-hearted because of the way he dealt with this Bengali Vaishnava. But internally he was very soft and compassionate and kind. So immediately he came back to Mahaprabhu and requested Mahaprabhu to excuse the offense of this innocent devotee. And after this, incident, Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. And he asked all the devotees to continue the cleaning. So this is also a very nice pastime that has taken place and that is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami was a constant associate of the Lord all through his stay here in Jagannath Puri along with Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu used to dance in front of Lord Jagannath at the time of the Rath Yatra, he would divide his devotees into four kirtan groups. Each of them had number of singers and mridanga players and dancers and so on. And sometimes, or rather every year actually, the devotees from Bengal, from different villages would come to join Mahaprabhu in the kirtan. Villages like Shantipur, Sri Khanda and Kulinagram. So the four existing kirtan parties and these three more, that's seven. So there were seven kirtan parties that were performing kirtan ecstatically as the Rath Yatra was going on. And Mahaprabhu would time to time go into these different groups, dance for a while in one group and then go to another group and another group. And each group felt that Mahaprabhu was only with them. This was similar to the Rasa Leela when all the gopis felt that Krishna was dancing only with them. Or it was similar to Lord Krishna being in Dwarka with his queens when every queen thought that Krishna was only with her. Or when Krishna was enjoying his lunch, picnic in the forest with the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. And when they were sitting together, Krishna was in the center and all the cowherd boys sat surrounding him in a circle, in concentric circles. And all the cowherd boys felt that Krishna was looking only at them. So in the same way, Mahaprabhu was moving in such a way that all the kirtan parties thought that he is only in our group. So Swarup Damodar Goswami was the lead singer in one of these kirtan parties where Advaita Acharya was the lead dancer. And sometimes Mahaprabhu would bring all the seven kirtan groups together. And then there was a thunderous sound, because you can imagine so many mridangas, so many kartals, so many singers all coming together. And there was ecstatic dancing. And at that time, in the combined group, Mahaprabhu would make Swarup Damodar the chief singer. We have already discussed earlier that Swarup Damodar used to sing like the Gandharvas, and he was as scholarly as Brihaspati. And that whenever Swarup Damodar sung, Mahaprabhu would erupt into dance, and sometimes he would fall externally unconscious because of Swarup Damodar's sweet singing. So this time also, at one particular time, when Mahaprabhu had been dancing and exhibiting the most uncommon ecstatic symptoms never before seen in the history of the creation, and all the onlookers were struck with wonder and astonishment to see these transformations in the divine body of Mahaprabhu. At one particular point in time, Mahaprabhu came up to Swarup Damodar and he ordered him to sing, as he would often do. Swarup Damodar Goswami's special characteristic was that he would understand exactly what mood the Lord was in at any particular point in time. And according to that mood, he would sing. So on this occasion, when Mahaprabhu came to him and asked him to sing, so he sang a particular song. Shai to parana nath painu, jaha lagi madana dahana, dahane jhuri geno. Prabhupada translates that as being, now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I am being burned by Cupid and was withering away. Seito Prananath Painu. Prananath means the Lord of one's life. Painu means I have obtained. I have obtained that Lord of my life again. Jaha Lagi, for whom I was withering away. Jhuri Genu, in the fire of separation. Madana Dahane. Madana literally means Cupid. So I was pining for the Lord, and I was very much severely in separation from Him. But now, again, He has appeared. So this was the song sung by Swarup Damodar. And Mahaprabhu became very, very happy to hear this. And immediately he began to dance in front of Jagannath. And he began to enact this song that Swarup Damodar Goswami had sung. Sometimes Mahaprabhu would be in the front, sometimes he would go back. When Mahaprabhu would go behind the rath, or he was not directly visible to Jagannath, the Jagannath would stop. Then when Mahaprabhu would come in front of the cart, Jagannath would start moving again. So these are the mysterious ways of the movement of the Rath Yatra cart. Even today it is experienced that for some unknown reason the Lord refuses to move. The rath just doesn't move. And then suddenly the rath moves. So the Lord would... There was a transcendental competition actually between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. And in this way, Mahaprabhu would understand the moods. According to his moods, he would chant verses. And nobody understood what he was saying, what the purport, what the hidden meaning of these verses was, except Swarup Damodar Goswami. That goes to show once again the glories of Swarup Damodar. Mahaprabhu had a certain vision of Jagannath temple and of Gundicha temple. He had a certain understanding and vision of the esoteric and the hidden meaning and the significance of the Rath Yatra. And according to that, he would chant these verses during the Rath Yatra. And Swarup Damodar was the only one who really understood that. But he did not disclose it to others. Swarup Damodar also kept it all confidential, because he understood the Lord also wanted this to be kept confidential. And there was one particular verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, which Swarup Damodar Goswami understood. And later, Mahaprabhu discovered that Rupa Goswami had also understood the meaning of that verse. So these verses are given in the sheet of paper here. But because we are almost through with the time for today, we'll stop here and we'll discuss these two very nice verses tomorrow. And we'll also discuss some other pastimes that Swarup Damodar Goswami was involved in along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please keep this sheet of paper with you and bring it tomorrow when we will continue Swarup Damodar Goswami's glorification. So we are giving so much time to Swarup Damodar Goswami's glorification because, as I have said earlier, he is considered perhaps the most important associate of the Lord in Jagannath Puri. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. The question is, can you elaborate upon spiritual intelligence? It said the Brahmana had spiritual intelligence, and then materially he may or may not have been very intelligent, but spiritually he was very intelligent, yes. Material intelligence means you know how to manipulate the material energy. You know how to analyze the material energy very expertly from a material point of view. But material intelligence is not the qualification needed for understanding Krishna. One can understand Krishna only by devotion. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yas chashmi tatpataha tato mam tatpato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that it is only by bhakti or devotion that one can understand me as I am. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yas cha asmi tatpataha. To understand the absolute truth, in truth, completely, one must become a devotee. Tato mam tatpato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. It is only then that one can enter into the spiritual sky to associate with the Lord eventually. So material intelligence or material qualifications are not mentioned anywhere as a criteria for understanding the absolute truth. Whatever apparently material qualifications are required for a devotee, Krishna will provide. If Krishna feels that qualification is necessary for that devotee. So Krishna is not concerned about these qualities. Somebody may be very academically brilliant, but may not be a devotee, may be an atheist. So that intelligence is of no use. On the contrary, that intelligence will be used for probably some destructive purpose. But there may be someone who may not be so materially intelligent, but that person has understood that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. That person has faith, and with that faith he surrenders to Krishna and becomes his staunch devotee. That is spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence means faith in something sublime, that is Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Any other question or comment? Yes. The question is that in a previous class there was mention of the Prakriti Sahajya. Upper sampradaya, deviant sampradayas. So how is it that these people become like this? By association, by cultivation of a certain mood, in certain association, it rubs off. One becomes what one associates with. So because these people have perhaps associated with such tendencies in the previous lives, they develop a tendency to do so similarly in this life. And the more one does so, that tendency becomes stronger and it may manifest in a full-blown way, like it did for that police chief who dressed up as Radharani. The question is, so much so that he left the prestige of a police officer, of a senior police officer, yes? That kind of sentiment may also sprout in the heart of the devotee of that person according to his desire. Krishna gives the faith even to the atheist to be an atheist because that is the atheist's desire. So similarly, whatever kind of desire one may have, whether it's a bona fide desire or not, if one strongly has that desire, Krishna gives the faith that corresponds to that desire, so that that particular living entity may try to fulfill that desire. And the Lord, according to the Upanishads, has been doing this. He has been trying to fulfill the desires of the living entities from time immemorial. So by associating with the proper devotees, as Swarup Damodar Goswami instructed that Brahmana poet from Bengal, that simply associate with the proper devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you will find shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. Then you will be able to glorify Krishna correctly. You will be able to appreciate the Lord properly. Yes, this is the police officer's case is a false application of the principles of bhakti. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina. What is that? Ekantika Harer Bhaktir Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. There is the verse. That if the bhakti is not based on the bona fide principles of the Shrutis, that is the Upanishads and so on, the Smritis like the Puranas and so on, the Pancharatra Shastras and so on, even if one seems to be one pointed in one's devotion, Ekantika Harer Bhakti, that so-called devotion will actually be utpata yaiva kalpate. It will create great social disturbance, like it did for this police officer. So therefore, here also we have seen Swarup Damodar Goswami putting very strong emphasis that our devotion should be based on the proper philosophical understanding. Otherwise, these so-called tears that the Sahajiya shed, Prabhupada said, they wash away all the Vedic conclusions. On the path of bhakti, genuine bhakti, one must distinguish between material tears and spiritual tears. There are some people who just cry very easily. That's just the nature in association with the three modes of nature. That doesn't necessarily mean they're very advanced devotees. The spiritual tears are something else. Can you repeat that? Was that association with the Sahajiyas in this birth or in previous births? Maybe in this birth and also in previous births. The only solution is to come to the association of bona fide devotees of the Lord. Then, whatever one may have been in the past, everything can be changed. Okay, so we'll stop here. We will meet again tomorrow at 5:30 for the last lecture on Swarup Damodar Goswami's glorification. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.